Instead of centering the sermon today around our mothers, we decided to think about them around our prayer. And I appreciate the comments that Brother Hufford made and the prayer that we had. I hope that all of us appreciate our mothers as we should. I guess Sister Dixon is our oldest mother here this morning. So many of you mothers that are a bit older have meant so much not only to your own children but to so many of us, and we appreciate each of you. My mother is in the hospital today in Cookeville, having passed out, was out for about 5 minutes on Friday. We still don't know the situation or the cause, and I ask that you keep her in your prayers throughout the day as we're trying to determine what the situation is. This morning, as we study together, I want to talk about one word that was in the passage that Brother Murphy read a few minutes ago, a word that has come to be one of the most comforting words to me that's found in the Bible. And you would not normally think of it, I'm sure, as a comforting word. But I have reference to the word reasonable. Any conscientious Christian is probably going to find some time or other in his life when he feels frustrated because he cannot do everything that he would like to do. Maybe even not do everything that he really thinks God wants him to do. There are times that I'm frustrated. I was a bit frustrated yesterday when I would like to have been here at 4 o'clock for Sister McNeil's funeral and had to be in Sharp, Kentucky at 7 o'clock to preach and just could not make both of them. I'm thankful to have a co-worker like David Powell that makes situations like this much easier. This morning I'd like to be in Cookeville, and yet I believe I need to be here. There are times when I sit down in my office different hours of the day and I could think very quickly of at least 25 people that I should visit. And I just can't do it. Sometimes I go home at night and sit down for a while and I begin to think about what I should have done today or what I might have done today in God's service. And it's easy sometimes to become discouraged and maybe sometimes to become a bit depressed. And I think sometimes we almost draw the conclusion that it's impossible for me to do what I need to do in the Lord's service. I've come to the conclusion that it's not impossible. In the last few years, particularly, this word reasonable in Romans 12:1 has come to be one of the most comforting words in the Bible to me. As I try to live a Christian life and live a life of a servant of God. Now, some of you may be reading from a translation this morning that says spiritual service. But I'm convinced more than ever after studying for this lesson that reasonable is probably one of the best translations. As we consider the word itself from whence this word comes and the ideas that are associated with it. And I just want to simply for a few minutes this morning just reason with you about the word reasonable. If you study the root word in the original language, you'll find something being said like this as it is explained, that it is that which is rational. It is that which has to do with the intellect. And I tried to trace the word not only back in what's said about it in the original by those who know the Greek language and how it is used, but I looked at definitions and synonyms and words that are compared to it. And I decided to suggest these five ideas today that are on the back of the announcement sheet. Five words that I believe help us to understand this word and I believe can help us to be more at ease. And I don't mean at ease in the sense of sitting down and doing nothing. but at least some degree of satisfaction in believing that we are living the Christian life and that we are serving God and that we are serving one another. And the first idea that I suggest is that the word means rational. What God expects of us is rational. That means it is not impossible. I tried to let my mind wander from Genesis through Revelation with this thought in mind, and I could not come up with one example where God ever asked anybody to do anything that was impossible in order to be pleasing in the sight of God. All the commandments that he gave to the patriarchs, to those under the Mosaic law, to the apostles, through the apostles, to the early church. I cannot find anywhere that God ever asked anybody to do that which was impossible as a part of his service to God. But always rational. 1 Corinthians 10:13 teaches us in the first part of the verse that all of us are in the same boat together. No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And I think really this is a common problem to all of us. But then he says in the latter part of the verse that God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. He's not going to ask the impossible of you. But he will even make a way of escape. He will even help to make the opportunity. He won't find it for you and he won't do it for you. But he'll make available a way that you can meet the temptation or the challenge or the opportunity and be successful in the end result. Because God's commands are rational, that means that they make sense. You know, if you just stop and think about it for a moment, even if we didn't have what's said in the Bible and we just looked at it from human relationships and our associations with one another on the subject of service, doesn't it make sense to be doing what we're doing in the Lord's service? Being concerned about the needs of others, being ready to help, just makes common sense that we serve one another in the right way. And I also think that this idea of being rational suggests an idea of being moderate. Now, there are some commands that are clear that some things are always right and some things are always wrong. But when it comes to the subject of service, the word moderation is a very important word. Not too far to the right hand, not too far to the left. Not sitting down and doing nothing, but not running oneself crazy trying to figure out what to do. Just an idea of moderation involved in daily service one to another. And so first I suggest to you that this idea of reasonable service means that it's rational. In the second place, some would say that the word appeals to the intellect. And I don't get the idea when I'm studying this that he's talking about how high one's IQ is and that it appeals more to those who are highly intelligent, but rather that he's saying that is something that has to do with the intellect, man's ability to think and reason and believe and understand, that it has to do with that part of man's existence. How would you like to live if you were always wondering exactly what God wanted you to do? And when you go to bed tonight, you're still confused about what he has said concerning service. We don't have to be confused. Because you see, his will has been revealed to us even in a way that it was not revealed to those back under Old Testament times. Ephesians 3, about verse 5 and 9, and those verses tell us that there was a time when it was a mystery. But it is now revealed unto us through the holy apostles and prophets. And later on in that chapter, he discusses the overall purpose of God. Back in the first chapter at verse 18, he says that your understanding may be enlightened. That you can know what God's word is and you can know what God expects. You can understand what is involved in serving your fellow man. It is something that appeals to the intellect. Even the prophets that wrote the Old Testament did not understand all of God's purpose at that time, according to 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. But you and I today, this side of the cross and this side of the completion of the Word of God, can understand His overall purpose and how we fit in as having been created in His image and how He works through us as we serve one another. It's something that we can understand. We can know the truth. We can know what God expects. We can know what He expects for us to become Christians. We can know what He expects for us to worship. We can know what He expects for us to be about His service day by day. Because God is a reasonable God. In the third place, I suggested that this means that our service may be relatively inexpensive. We've almost come to the point of thinking that everything is determined by how much it costs. Better car because it costs more, and better house because it costs more. But that's not the case when it comes to service in God's kingdom. Oh yes, He expects us to support His work with our free will offerings. They're to be liberal, they're to be sacrificial. That's true. But I'm not talking about that area of work so much this morning as our daily interactions with one another. Why did Jesus use the example of a cup of cold water? Don't you think maybe He wanted to use something that was inexpensive? Something that anybody could do? And when you study the judgment scene of Matthew 25, where He says we either did or we didn't in our service to Him through serving one another, look at what He's talking about. Most of those things that are mentioned there don't cost a lot. Give somebody some food, usually we rake out more than someone else could eat. Be concerned about His clothing. Most of us could share what we have with someone else and still have enough to wear. Go see somebody that's in prison or go see somebody that's sick. How much does that cost? Send a card. I'm going to give the dollar store free advertisement. If you get it at the dollar store, you can get one for 50 cents. Call me cheap if you want to. That's what I'm saying. It's inexpensive. The only problem is it costs almost that much to get a stamp. But even when you've done that, not a lot involved. Now, I've been noticing lately that I can make a telephone call to the hospital in Jackson and talk 2 or 3 minutes, and it costs me 14 or 21 cents. A lot of things we can do that are inexpensive. How many times do we talk about, oh, I can't afford that? And there are some things, if God demanded, that we could not afford. But even the one talent man would have been accepted if he had used his one talent. Just as much as the two-talent man and the five-talent man. And by the way, literally in that passage, it's talking about the use of money or possessions. We apply the principle to our talents to do things, but he's really talking about using what we have. And we're just simply told by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, we're to be good stewards of it. We're just to use what we have. God doesn't demand something that's beyond our ability. A little boy lived in a community, and he was known by the local florist to be from a very poor family. The day before Mother's Day, he came into the florist, and he looked through the glass and a certain flower, and he said, "Mister, how much is that flower?" The florist, knowing his situation and knowing that he wanted it for his mother, said, "Son, how much do you have?" He said, "Mister, I have 37 cents. Well, he said, "It just so happens that that flower today costs 37 cents. I think God is a lot like that when it comes to us. There may be times that we only have 37 cents, but somehow or other, if we have the right attitude, God can use us and we can use that in His service. And if that's all we have, folks, and we use it in God's service, we ought to feel just as good as if it were $37 or $37 million. Because, you see, God is reasonable. He doesn't ask for more than we've got. And then it seems to me that this word reasonable also suggests the idea of being conservative. And I'm using conservative in the sense of at least one of its definitions is that there is a resistance to quick change. Now, there may be some things we need to change, sometimes our attitudes and sometimes our actions. But when it comes to God's Word and what He has given to us and how we are to understand it, it doesn't change. Our opportunities to apply it may change, but God's Word doesn't change. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Matthew 24:35. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And it's rather interesting that the only other time in the New Testament where a form of this word that's translated reasonable in Romans 12:1 is used is 1 Peter 2:2. And we don't see this in most translations because two words evidently are translated into one idea. But it's the verse that says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And that idea of rational is in one of those words in the original language. And it's suggested that probably it's only in these two places in the New Testament that that specific concept is presented. And he's saying when it comes to God's word, it's pure, it's rational, it's reasonable. It's conservative in the sense that it's not going to change. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to still have the same guidelines that I have today. Again, I say the challenges and the opportunities may change, but not the guidelines for meeting those opportunities. I didn't have to get up this morning and call somewhere and find what the going teaching is today and what law has been passed by somebody in the last few days. I don't have to call a board together to see what's right or what's wrong when it comes to service. You see, I've still got the Word of God, and you have too. It's conservative in the sense that the principles of it do not change. It's just that rational, reasonable set of guidelines that's been there all along. And then I suggested the word controlled. And that's to build on this last idea that what we are to do is discussed within the boundaries of these guidelines. I like Matthew 16:19 very well. He said, you don't bind where God is not bound, and you don't loose where God is not loosed. And most of the problems in the church today, even of a doctrinal nature, come from people going to one of those two extremes. Instead of trying to just be reasonable and walk in the straight and narrow way as God's book has taught us that we ought to. I'm sure that 1 Corinthians 14:40 teaches other things. Let all things be done decently and in order. But I sort of thought of this verse as I was thinking of this point, that we live before God in a controlled situation, an orderly situation. Not something that we're always wondering, that we're always trying to outguess somebody and hope that maybe somehow or other we'll do what is right. But in a situation that is controlled, where God tells us how to be of service to one another and how to be about that service. I've come to realize more and more in the last few years that neither one of us can do everything. And maybe sometimes when we try to do everything, we don't do anything well. I've come to believe that God doesn't expect us to do everything. He just expects us to do that which is reasonable. And when night comes tonight and you and I are ready to pillow our heads, if we can look back on this day and believe that we have done a reasonable work of service in God's kingdom, we have every reason to be happy and to have assurance and to feel good about being a Christian. There is another verse that may be a twin to Romans 12:1 on this point, and I have reference to 2 Corinthians 8:12. If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Isn't that just another way of saying that God is reasonable? He knows your abilities, but he also knows your limitations. He knows your opportunities, but he also knows your talents. He knows what you are capable of doing, and he doesn't expect you to do the impossible, but has promised the reward for the two-talent man who uses them as well as the five-talent man who uses them. We just need to learn to quit spending so much time trying to be like somebody else and do everything that somebody else does, and remember that God is a reasonable God. And let that be the guideline to us as we reach out to be of service every day in every reasonable way. And God's going to be pleased, and we're going to be happier. Just reasonable. Oh, I'm so thankful for that word. That I can believe that when I do a reasonable job of living the Christian life, abundant life, John 10:10, Christ in me and I in him, Galatians 2:20, living not by bread alone, but by the words that come out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4 and Luke 4, that I can find happiness and assurance when I'm living a reasonable life. And by the way, I believe it's reasonable for God to expect us to believe in him, repent of our sins, confess his name, and be buried with him in baptism. That's something that's inexpensive. It's rational. It's controlled. We can understand it. I believe it is reasonable for us to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another when we need to do that. In fact, the invitation of Christ is reasonable. We remind you of that invitation now. Together we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way.